You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 53 of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your privileged hosts for this podcast about technology and where that intersects with ministry. Sally, I mentioned we are a privileged host because we, by God's grace, have 1 year of podcasts now under our belt.
That's right, Martin. Happy anniversary. This is kind of hard for us to believe, I think, that we've actually done a weekly show for a whole year and all the things that have come out of that. It's really exciting.
You know, when we were talking about the concept of a podcast and throwing around, well, how often do we do it? And we looked at each other and said, can we really do one a week? And I think both of us probably had our doubts whether that was possible at all.
That's right. It is quite a commitment, but actually, you know, once we got in the groove of it, I think that, you know, we balanced each other out pretty well. Neither one of us was too overwhelmed by the work of the podcast, and we both, you know, enjoy doing it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised at how easily it fit within the context of what we were already doing. We're, you know, part of our jobs is to understand the place of technology in ministry and share that, and that's kind of a natural of what we do. So for this one-year anniversary, we're going to play some old clips, see how bad we sounded back then, and hopefully we've made some progress after 1 year of practice, and talk a little bit again, like we did in that very first podcast, about why we're doing this, why a podcast. And that's, I think we should continue to remind ourselves and ask ourselves the question, are we providing value? Is this a good thing? Are our listeners getting some benefit and being blessed by what we're talking about? So I think that would be a great conversation to have.
I agree, Martin. You know, we are coming into a brand new year. We're coming off our most recent episode being our favorite picks of 2008. And now we have just kind of a clean slate for 2009. And I think all that we've learned in the past year is just going to help us to grow and explore more possibilities and you know, glean out the good things in what we're seeing in the world of technology and how they can benefit ministry. I have a quick little story to share with you, and I really don't think it would have happened without this podcast and the work that I've invested here, but we had a pretty amazing event on Christmas Eve at our church. We were live streaming our Christmas Eve service, which is our children's service, you know, 350 people in church, but also publicized that we were live streaming it on the internet. And that's the part, you know, I don't think would have necessarily happened without this podcast, because I learned about some free opportunities to do live streaming and put those in place here in our congregation. But the amazing thing was, we have a daughter of our congregation who's actually serving overseas right now, doing some mission work in a foreign country, and she was able to watch. And you know, that's a really cool thing, to allow somebody on the other side of the world to tune in and be part of your children's Christmas Eve service. But the offshoot of that was, she was not only watching, but she was on her cell phone text messaging her family who were at the service.
So they, no kidding.
They knew she was watching, and when the service was over and they were being ushered out, they waved at the camera and she saw them. So it's just an amazing, amazing world that we live in. Yeah. And I, you know, all the things we've learned just came to fruition there on Christmas Eve for me, and having, you know, that daughter able to participate in our service in that way, it was just very, very special.
That's so neat. And we talk about this all the time, but really one of the biggest blessings of technology is just that ability to communicate, to connect people, whether they be family members or people who don't even know each other, and just an opportunity to share our faiths and our lives. And wow, just a lot of opportunity there. And that's a great example of the use of technology, and probably not a lot of effort, you know, to do it, and not a lot of cost.
Exactly. Zero cost, just really minimal effort. And what better thing to connect and communicate people with the message of the gospel, yep. You know, that precious life-saving message. Yep. Very exciting.
Wonderful story. Cool. Well, hopefully there'll be many more of those kinds of stories in 2009 and in year two of our podcast. But before we go on too much further into 2009, maybe let's take a quick look back at how we started all this back on that first week in January of 2008, where we asked the question, why a podcast? That was the subject of show number one. Let's hear what we said. I'll play first a clip from me as to my answer, then you, Sally, and let's see how we've done. Think about what we can be doing, you know, within our podcast. One of the driving forces for me is the ability to help our pastors, teachers, other church workers, volunteers, you know, basically our audience, weave through all the advancements in technology that they simply don't have time to keep up on, and it's really not their job to do so. And then talk about technology as it relates to ministry in just kind of plain English. You know, what does this mean? How can the church, how can the school use technology to further the gospel, of course.
Yes.
And hopefully we've been able to do that. I set that as a goal every time we sit down to have this podcast. Yeah, then normally we sit down with a prayer before we start to say, hey, season our speech and help us talk about something that will resonate with somebody and something that somebody will use in their ministries that will be of some blessing and benefit to them. Next is you, Sally. Let's hear what you had to say.
Every day I'm in contact with various people across the Synod and assisting them with different uses of technology. The technology spectrum is changing constantly, and it's a great place for us to make use of the tools that are available to further the gospel ministry. So just having a forum to talk about all of these rapidly changing tools is a good idea, I think.
Remember saying that, Sally?
You bet. And I'm right there for year two. I totally agree with that. Having a forum to talk about it, not just you and I talking, Martin, but opening it up to all our listeners and being able to learn from each other is just an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One thing that we did real briefly in show one, which we should probably now do again in show two, because we've got new listeners, or many, I would assume most, who didn't even listen to show one, is maybe introduce ourselves to our listening community. We give little tidbits about ourselves as we move through shows, and everybody's that's listened for any period of time knows about my deck, for instance. And
I was thinking about your deck, yep.
And things going on in your life as well. So maybe let's take just a couple minutes and tell everybody who we are, you know, how we got here, and how that, you know, maybe lends itself well to what we're doing. Maybe, Sally, if you would start.
You bet.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm my official title with the Synod is Wells Technology Trainer, and in that position I get to work with both Synod employees and volunteers as well as congregations to assist with technology systems that are in place. Obviously at the Synod we have several systems in place for getting the work of the Synod done, and also we support congregations on things like their church websites and the church management software, Shepherd Staff as well. So lots of opportunity to work with people, to teach them about their computers, which is, you know, kind of high on my list. I mm-hmm. love to work with computers and teach people. I have a teaching background, and right now I'm living currently in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. So I do all of this long distance from our headquarters of the Synod, which is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My husband is a pastor serving here in Sleepy Eye, and I only work part-time, so that allows me to actually work in the school as well. So I do some volunteer computer lab work in our school. So I've got a mixture of a work for the synod, work in a Lutheran elementary school, and being a pastor's wife and supporting the congregation as the pastor's wife as well. So a good mix to absorb a lot of the information that we're sharing here on the show.
Lots of little life inputs that you have that kind of bring a reality to what we're talking about. I find that really valuable, especially in the area of teaching, where I don't have any experience, and I think you bring that classroom into the show. And those of you that have been listening know we have once a month another teacher come on the show, Gail Potratz from New London, as our, now I've always got to look back at what we actually call Gail, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent.
You got it.
I probably mixed up all the words there. But again, we'll have Gail on at the end of this month again to talk about more classroom technology and how that impacts the school. So that's a little bit about Sal, a little bit about myself. I serve the Synod as its chief technology officer. I've been in that position since October of 2004. Man, time has flown by on that too. So I know when I started, I really didn't know what to think. The Synod had not had a CTO before. We had kind of worked at technology by committee and, you know, a few dabbles here and there, but hopefully I've been able to bless, you know, I have been blessed, and hopefully the work I've done has blessed the Synod and its work in the area of technology, and I view the podcast as an important part of that. I was theologically trained. I went through Northwestern College, which is now Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. At the time it was in Watertown. And Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, served a couple congregations, left the ministry for technology, and spent about 12 years in internet and IT consulting in the Chicago area, and learned a lot and enjoyed it, and then the opportunity to kind of blend my ministerial training and experience with my technology training and experience has been a wonderful, wonderful fit for me. I live in Slinger, Wisconsin, where my deck is, and my family. Haven't used the deck yet. It's covered with snow, about a 4-foot drift back there. I have 3 kids, 2 in college, 1 getting married this summer, so that's exciting, and 1 at Luther Prep. So I get a chance to visit a lot of congregations, which I really enjoy. I get to do some workshops and training and those kinds of things, and I get to talk with a lot of pastors and teachers, and I think one of the greatest blessings, which we're going to talk about in a minute, of this podcast is the ability now for us to connect with far more people than we ever had before, had the opportunity to do before. And that's been a real blessing to me, and that's really important to my job, is to be able to hear what's going on out there, what are the obstacles, and maybe how technology can help. So that's a little bit about me.
And I'll just add that we really appreciate you being our fearless leader, Martin. You're a good one.
All right. Enough of that. Okay, so let's take a quick retrospective look at year one. What happened? And I say that in a positive way, Sally. Not like what happened, but what happened in year one from your perspective? Where'd we go? What'd we talk about? What was interesting to you?
Probably a lot more than we expected when we recorded that first show, and not knowing what the future held. But we've grown quite a user community, or listener community, I should say, and that's probably the most exciting part of it to me. We have a Facebook group that has 105 members now, yippee. Mm-hmm. Just a great way for like-minded Wells Tech people and other tech people, I guess, to connect and ask questions and get information. We have a very active listserv, again, where people can connect with one another and share information. We've established a wiki, something I'd like to see grow in 2009, a place for us to collaborate and document some of that great knowledge that's out there in use in our congregations and schools.
Yeah, let's give that a plug before you move past that. The wiki is really something, as you mentioned, I think we should begin to leverage a lot more, because that is hopefully going to be a valuable resource for anybody who listens to the show and anybody across the Synod who wants to learn about particular topics, or not just learn, but contribute their experiences, which is really what a wiki is good at. And right now, we have a couple of topics up there, at least two, that come to my mind. One, a whole topic on church media. So what's going on within the world of technology as it relates to church media. So audio, video, recording, those kinds of things, sound systems, microphones. So we have a whole section on church media, and then we have another section on church management software, correct? Is that the one other one I'm thinking of?
I'm bringing up the website right now.
I think we have a section.
Content management.
Content
systems,
management, actually. Not church management. Although we have had a church management wiki in the past. Maybe we should migrate some of that stuff over there as well. But yeah, content management systems. We had a whole show comparing some of the open source products out there. And we devoted a wiki to that. So if you've got experience in any of those areas or need to or want to kind of bone up on them, that would be a great place to go. And that is address, Sally.
Wellstech.wetpaint.com.
Wetpaint.com. So let's make the wiki a great, even a greater resource in 2009, and we need our listeners' participation in that. What we found, Sally, in looking at who our listeners are pretty hardcore technologists. Many of them, you know, people who know a lot and are willing to share. And we'd love for them to go out to that wiki and populate that so that others could take advantage of their wisdom and experience.
And I think that's where the power of this really starts to take off, Martin. You know, we record this once a week. It can be played at any time. People can go back to and listen to last March 15th podcast if they're interested in the topic that we talked about then. You know, so that whole time shifting is great. We're building an online archive of resources with the podcast. But to take that to the next level and have the written and referenceable online archive in the wiki where it's searchable and things like that, and you can point people back to that information about maybe the best microphone to use for wireless reception in a church or whatever it is, specific information, you know, you're really going to see the power of this collaboration take off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another thing I really enjoyed, I don't know about you, Sally, is the interviews that we did. We did, I don't know how many, 50, 49, something like that. Most shows, this show would be an exception, is we have an interview. And that very first show, we started with an interview of Brian Schaefer from Final Web. And we're going to continue to do that as we move forward, is look for interesting people to talk to who have interesting things to say about technology and ministry and how that has made a difference for their work and how it could make a difference for our listeners. So we're always looking for interviews. So if you are a listener that has, I think, something to contribute, we'd love to get you on the show. Or if you know of people who might be good conversations to have, let us know about those too. We're always looking for those kinds of conversations. As you know, longtime listeners know, we don't always have Wells people on. We have people from all walks of life, and I think that adds a little bit of a flavor to the show as well, to get a little bit different perspective. And I think that's a valuable component to the show.
Right. I enjoy the interview segments very much, just getting to meet that variety of people and introduce them to our show and hopefully grow, you know, our listenership that way as well, you know, that we have more people in more areas of the Synod and beyond the Synod, as you said, that are aware of the podcast and are participating in the podcast. I like it when there's more voices than just yours and mine, Martin.
For sure.
That right. Always adds to it.
And we are obviously, and we've said this over and over, not the experts on certainly every technology topic. There's gaping holes, you know, in both of our technological
Absolutely.
Experiences. So those interviews, I think, fill that hole nicely. Mm-hmm. So if there's people or if there's just topics that you maybe even don't have any somebody in mind that you'd like us to talk about or try and find somebody who's an expert in the field, well, please let us know. We're looking for those kinds of ideas. Maybe at this point we should ask ourselves, did we accomplish any of our objectives or goals for 2008? And the only goal that I set for 2008, let me actually play the clip so that we get this from the horse's mouth here. Hang on. And perhaps the number one goal for me, you know, to put it bluntly, is to not suck. You know, we need to provide, you know, information that's going to keep our listeners in tune and coming back so that they can be a part of that conversation and participate and make this show better and better. So there you have it. Did we do it?
There you have it. I sure hope so. I guess we have to leave that up to our listeners. Maybe we'll set up some kind of poll or something and find out.
Did we suck or not? Yes. It's a pass-fail, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that behind us, hopefully we've accomplished that. Maybe it's time to set some new goals for 2009. It's always good to set some of those things up right at the get-go. So, Sally, as you look forward, we've mentioned a couple of these already, maybe. What do you see as a goal for 2009 for the show?
Well, I think 2009 has a lot of unique events, you know, in it. We have a Synod convention coming up. Mm-hmm. We have other activities in the summer, like the Wells International Youth Rally and things like that. So hopefully this wiki can speak to some of those things, not just the wiki, but the podcast, obviously, and expand on the topics that we've covered already so that we can, you know, cover these new areas and see how they can fit into our ministry as well.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about the wiki. We talked earlier on about trying to build this community, and I think that is one of my prime goals for 2009 is to continue on what we've started and gather these people together. So rather than making this a one-to-one conversation, us to them or them to us, our listeners to us, maybe listener to listener would be a valuable approach for 2009. And, you know, get them talking to each other. We talked about the listserv. One thing that maybe would be an encouragement at this point is to join the Facebook group. Many of our listeners are already Facebook users. We have a Facebook location or group, I guess it would be called, on Facebook for Wells Tech. If you just do a search on Wells Tech under groups, anybody can join. As Sally, you mentioned, we have 105 members already. Be great if all of our listeners were on there, were interacting on that, and kind of use that as a resource as well, a kind of a community water cooler kind of thing where we interact, share some things, pictures, etc., you know, whatever it is, you know, that we would want to share.
And I can really see the podcast hopefully reaching out to more and more people in 2009 so mm-hmm. that our listenership grows and more people can benefit and get excited about some of the uses of technology in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the hardcore techies, but expanding it more than that.
Yep.
And also reaching all the congregations and Wells so that we have tech contacts in all our Wells congregations. I think that would be a really wonderful goal for us.
Yep. As I mentioned, I think earlier in the show, the predominance of our audience, I believe, are, you know, middle to above average technologists. So I think we want to invite and encourage, you know, the tech newbies that they would feel comfortable coming in, and we try and keep our conversations varied enough that there's something for everybody. But that's really the point of the show, is to bring in as many people as possible into this wonderful world that we know of as technology, and then kind of relate that to ministry. So I think that would be a worthy goal for 2009 as well. So 1 year under the belt, Sally, hopefully another year ahead. Some people have asked, well, how long will Wells Tech keep going? I think we answered that earlier. It'll go as long as it has value and as long as we're able to do it. I'm happy to continue to keep going. And when nobody's listening, we'll stop talking.
Right? Hopefully, technology is going to continue to keep up at such a pace. I don't think we have anything to worry about, new things to talk about, because this world is changing so rapidly. It's kind of a good thing to just focus on staying on top of that and
yep.
have a place to kind of have a meeting of the minds about what's going on currently and how that affects us.
Yep. Well, speaking of new things, one of my New Year's resolutions was to have better transitions in this show. So speaking of new things, there are plenty of new things that would populate our picks of the week, and we're going to continue that tradition. That's one of the most popular features of the show. So, Sally, your pick this week, first of the year.
That's right, Martin. These two picks are going to go on a brand new Picks of the Week page where we start compiling the 2009 Picks of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
So getting all set up for that. And my first pick of the year is going to be tabloid.com. That's tabbloid.com. So
double
two B's in that URL. Yep. And tabloid.com is just a fun way to get your RSS feeds. Hopefully everyone's familiar with RSS, and if you aren't, you certainly want to learn about it and start taking advantage of the power of RSS. RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication, and it's basically a way to have new web content delivered to you instead of you having to go and look for new things on the web. So if you are familiar with the Wells website at all, there's lots of RSS feeds available there. Things like our daily prayers and daily devotions are available for delivery to you via RSS. And what you can do is basically take all of your favorite RSS feeds on tabloid.com, feed them into there, and it will deliver a PDF document to you once a day or once a week, however often you want to choose to have it delivered, with all of the information from your RSS feeds kind of set up in a newspaper looking format. So it makes your own customized tabloid, basically. Really neat format. I did a sample one just with our WellsTech RSS feed, and I'll post a link to that in the show notes because I think you'll be impressed with how clean it is and an easy way to get the RSS feeds. One idea I had was this would be a good way for schools who want to make use of RSS on a particular topic, for instance. Say you're researching something in social studies or whatever, and you want to sign up for some RSS feeds around the particular topic. Then you get basically a daily newspaper with information in this tabloid PDF file that you can read together as a class to find information on your topic that you're interested in. So lots of possibilities there. This is one I found from a favorite website of mine called Gates Computer Tips, and I'm going to include a link to that as well because he's got an awesome blog. If you aren't a reader, you might want to subscribe to his RSS feed. And he's actually an EduBlog award winner, a teacher who's blogging. And his was awarded in 2007 one of the best resource sharing blogs. And if you aren't familiar with EduBlog Awards, they've just come out with their 2008 award winners. So if you're looking for some great blogs to subscribe to on Tabloid, this would be a good place to start. So I'll have links to all of that in our WellsTech show notes for today.
Cool. I had not heard of that. I have to check that out. Just being on vacation a little bit over the last couple weeks, over the holidays, I got into, you know, normally I don't eat a lot of breakfast, but I did have some time then to sit down and eat breakfast, and I kind of missed the morning newspaper. We don't subscribe to a newspaper anymore, so I get all of my news from the web, and this sounds like a great solution for sitting down, you know, with the morning paper, as it were, you know, and just reading through your RSS feeds, and you can kind of, I assume you can plug in, you know, USA Today and all the yep. tech blogs and everything that you want to read on a daily basis, and just kind of acts like the morning paper, keep you up to date on what's going on.
Yep. Very cool layout and easy to read and just a really nice product I think they have. Totally free, mm-hmm. Very easy to sign up. Once you put in your email address, then it remembers it with cookies. So when you come back to the site, you don't have to log in or anything. It knows who you are and knows what feeds you're signed up to and what frequency you want the delivery and that kind of thing.
Right. Very cool. Mm-hmm. My pick, and I'm going to steal this one from you, Sally, because you hooked me up with this a couple days ago, actually the first
go right
of the
ahead.
Year, because I think it's great. It's called Joe's Goals. In the spirit of New Year's resolutions, now is the time to kind of get on the bandwagon again and talk about how you're going to do things differently in the new year. And one of the secrets, I think, to keeping those goals is tracking your progress. And Joe's Goals is a very simple website, kind of a Web 2.0 app that allows you to simply enter in your goals and track it day over day about how you're doing. So it's a simple checkmark process or multi-checkmark process. So it's a calendar grid that appears on your screen. I've got a little shortcut to it on my desktop, and I'm going to put a reminder in my Outlook to do it every day, and I have so far. And you go through all the goals and you check them off, whether you accomplished them or did not accomplish them in any given day. You can see a week's view. You can do reports. You can assign different weights to different goals. So, for instance, just a few of the goals that I've got set up, exercise is one of the goals that I have, blogging, then some more that are that would resonate with most of our audience, prayer, read or study Bible. Those kinds of things are things that I'm checking off every day or multiple times per day, and I can see over time how many days I was able to accomplish any of these in a row, how I'm doing. So I think it's almost kind of a little self-accountability. You can share these goals with other people too, so that others can keep you accountable or see how you're doing, or you can trade, or you kind of have a contract with somebody else where you share and they share. You can put any kind of goal in you want, and it's all for free. It's a very simple interface, very easy to do. And there's even logbooks you can write a little bit about, you know, what you did on a particular day, how you accomplished it or how you failed, whatever. So you've got this running history. Kind of cool. You're using this, Sally, right?
I am, and one thing I liked about it is you can put in things you want to avoid as well, not just things you want to do, but, you know, kind of the negative side as well, like if you want to avoid sugar or whatever, you
right.
can put that in and check it off if you accomplished avoiding it for mm-hmm. the day or whatever.
Yep.
So,
I have one
really
of those called Eat Out.
So, you don't want to eat out? What's wrong
right.
with you, Martin?
That's just too easy nowadays with the hectic
it
schedules,
is.
And it's just terrible on the diet, and it's
yes. you know,
obviously not as economic as eating in. So,
sure.
So far in the year, through 6 days now, I've got 3 times where I failed at that one. So every other day is my, and that's kind of hard over the holidays. We're doing traveling and such, so I'm already making excuses. But those can those count against your score. So it's kind of cool. It's a very simple app. There are many others like this, but I find this very simple to use, and I've got just a little shortcut that it pops it right up in off my desktop, and just do it.
Right. And one thing I liked about it, too, is it'll keep up with chains, which is how many days in a row
right.
you've done things. So, yeah, lots of different angles to such a simple little thing, but I really like it, too.
Okay. Now I got to think up a good transition to our next segment. continuing with our theme of New Year's resolutions, one great resolution that you could probably make is read through your Bible completely. And we at the Synod have a through the Bible in 3-year program. And you're going to tell us a little bit about how to do that, Sally.
That's right, Martin. And it ties in with my pick as well, because we have RSS feeds on our Through My Bible in 3-year program. Yeah, so
roll.
You can get it all here. we basically are using an MPH product. Through My Bible in 3 years is a little pamphlet that MPH puts out, and you can actually order it. Here in Sleepy Eye, we ordered a bunch of copies just to have in church and encouraged everyone to take a copy of the pamphlet home. But what's nice about it is for those who are electronically minded, you can have the Bible reading delivered to you each day via email or via RSS feed. So you get actually the text of the Bible for that day, and you can read it right there on your computer. Or you could subscribe to it in tabloid if you wanted to and have it come with mm-hmm. Your daily tabloid that gets delivered to your email as well. Another flavor is you can listen to it on your MP3 player
That's
or your computer with the podcast version of Through My Bible in 3 years. And I really enjoy this. Martin, I think, is it your father-in-law that records this?
My father-in-law
is
the voice of Through the Bible in 3-year podcast.
And he does such a good job with it. I know that he puts a lot of energy into his introductions and things, so mm-hmm. you're actually getting a little bit of background about the Bible book that you're reading currently and stuff. Just does a wonderful job with it. Both of those are available on our Wells.net website. I'll include links in the show notes. We have quick jump word links to them. One is at wells.net/jump/Bible3. That's for the text. That's the word I mean, the text version of the Through My Bible in 3 years. And the other is at Jump Word Bible 3 podcast for the audio version, which you can listen to, like I said, at any time on your MP3 player on your computer. Yep. So check those out. Make that part of your New Year's resolutions if you want, and enjoy your daily immersion in God's Word.
Yep, set it up as a goal in Joe's Goals.
There you go.
All right. Community feedback. Anybody talking to us in the new year?
Yes. Actually, we heard from one of our listeners, John Shoesmith. John's out at Redeemer in Yakima, Washington, and he gave us some feedback on our show number 50. and in particular is interested in copyright questions around the NIV Bible, being able to post the NIV on their website. And this actually kind of ties in with what we were just talking about. We have some experience with that on the Wells.net website with doing the Through My Bible in 3 years. Martin, I don't know if you're up on all the rules around posting part of the NIV.
I was. I was just referring to my old notes when I got the message from John, because this is really a complicated topic. And there's a lot of gray areas, and it depends on who you talk to. But we went down this road, as you mentioned, when we first started this almost 2 years ago. We're almost 2 years into Through the Bible in 3 years. And one of our concerns was being legal about this, because obviously there are copyright holders, and in the case of the NIV, that's Zondervan, or I believe it's IBS at this point. And we went to Zondervan at the time and said, I'm unclear on the language. What can we and can't we do? So, especially in electronic, it's easier in print because that's pretty standard stuff. But so we went to this at the time was Brenda Brown, who was the permissions administrator at Zondervan, and got her opinion on this. And let me just read for you what she wrote related to what she calls e-magazines, which is really what we're talking about here in electronic format, related to the Bible. The NIV in particular. She says, rights for e-magazine follow the print magazine model. Uses of less than 500 verses are generally granted free of charge according to the terms of their fair use statement. Permission is not granted to offer selections of verses that follow the selections of existing copyrighted print works, of course. This grant limits the site to 500 unique verses in a 30-day period. Larger portions, up to a maximum of 2,500 verses, that's equivalent to the Book of Psalms, for instance, may be granted at Zondervan's discretion. Term of use is 6 months, after which the content is to be removed from the website. The grant of use is for a single site or entity, and attempts to link sites to avoid maximum verses allowed will be viewed as grounds for immediate termination of rights. So we went to Zondervan and we got the 2,500 maximum that we could get. And you'll notice when you go to streams and seek previous podcasts Through the Bible in 3 years, you won't be able to go back more than 30 days, and it's for this reason. So we're not having the entire Bible at your disposal in audio form. There are sites that do that. For instance, Bible Gateway, we've talked about YouVersion in the past, but they've paid money to be able to do that. We just want to make sure that our listeners have the ability to kind of read through the Bible, and that's the purpose of the program. So you have to be careful with NIV, and you also ought to be careful whenever you reference it as well in educational works or whatever, that you give the appropriate copyright branding on it. And you can find that right in the front of the Bible, typically, how that should be represented. So just be aware of that, and I think that's just a good practice to get into.
You know, Martin, I'm just reminded of one other thing that we do on Wells.net and on our Wells blogs throughout our Wells.net system, is we use some plugins to our software to allow us to easily link to Bible Gateway.
Right.
So at times when we're referencing maybe Psalms 23 verse 1 or something in our writing, our web-based software is going to automatically establish that link to the verse in Bible Gateway, so that if someone's reading the text, they can easily just one click away read the Bible verse online in a place where we're not having to host the Bible completely in order to do that.
Right.
So,
great idea.
So those are some plugins. I think the one for WordPress is actually called Scripturizer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for something like that for your blog, you might do some searching for Scripturizer or something similar, in order to just integrate that linkage to Bible Gateway to the NIV.
Sure. And you can always hard code that too. Just go to Bible Gateway, see what the URL would be for that particular verse set. Yeah, you just do the search and then copy and paste the URL and hyperlink that in your on your website or whatever it is that you're trying to do. So that would be a great way to do it as well. All right. Very good. So if you are interested in providing feedback to us on copyright or any other issue, you are more than welcome to do that. You can go to our Facebook site, just search for Wells Tech on Facebook, or go to our site where we provide all of the show notes, where you can get all these links that we've been talking about and all this information we've been sharing, and that's wellstech.wells.net. Many other ways to contact us. We have a voicemail line. You can email us. You can use the listserv. You can comment on the show notes. Go to Facebook, delicious tagging, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We make it easy for you to talk to us, and that's intentional because we want to hear from you. So fill up our community mailbag so that we can hear what your questions and comments are. Go
ahead.
What's
coming up next week, Martin?
What's coming up next week? Well, I've been busy this week prepping for a class I'm teaching at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary during their winterim session. It's a two-week session they have each year, where I will be teaching a productivity course, you know, focusing on technology, but productivity in general, called Mind Like Water, The Art of Productivity. A lot of it we've talked about on the show in the past. It kind of centers around GTD, Getting Things Done by David Allen. I've kind of made some modifications to that, added a few things about cloud computing and the paperless church office and accountability and those kinds of things. So we're going to take some, you know, best hits from that course and share some things with our audience. I know we've talked about productivity in the past, but that's an ever-changing area in as well as it relates to technology. So we'll have some conversations around that. And, of course, we will have an interview next week as well. So tune in next week for Mind Like Water, The Art of Productivity.
Looking forward to that. You know, as much as I work at being a very organized and productive worker, there's always room for improvement. I think everybody would agree.
Yep.
We can always find ways to fine-tune our productivity principles.
And I think what I'm finding in my own life, and I think others would agree, is that once you get on this bandwagon, one thing that you have to be careful of is to spend all of your time organizing and no time doing. You know, really the point of being organized is to free up your time to do and be more effective in what you do. So there's the good balance there, because this can kind of consume you. And as you read the blogs and those things that talk about getting things done and other productivity tools, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, blah, 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 that's a constant battle. You know, what's the balance of, you know, spending your time organizing or organizing to do? So tune in next week for that. Well, that is show number 53, another one in the can. Let's close our shows we did all through 2008 with the featured music of a Wells artist, and we will return to the music of Koine this week, the band from St. Marcus Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Their song Jesus Priceless Treasure from their album Koine 2. Thanks, everybody, for joining us once again. We're really pleased that you did come back and listen along with us next week. Thank you.
Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour.